Dear God, we love you so much. We thank you so much for this worship service, God, thus far. We thank you for the opportunity to sing to you, God. We thank you for Misty and Avis and their message, Lord, that you put on their hearts, God, the way they serve this church, the example that they set, Father. So very grateful, Lord. We're so grateful for all of our mothers, Father God, and grandmothers, all the mother figures in our lives, God. I know personally, Lord, I've been able to see so many amazing godly characteristics. I've been able to see you. And so in my mother and grandmothers and women in my life, God, for so many years, thank you for giving me a glimpse of you through them, Lord God. And for that, I am grateful, Father. And Lord, I pray that as we get into the scriptures today, God, I pray that you will be pleased. I pray that we will be attentive to your word, to the things you want us to learn, Father. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, you know, back in the 1990s, there was a pagan prophet who wrote a song about his mama. His songs did not start with chapter one, but they started with chapter two. One of the psalms went just like this. Feel free to sing the hook with us. But it started like this. Through the first verse, it says, "And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it. There's no way I can pay you back, but the plan is to show you that I understand. You are appreciated. Hey!
Don't you know we love you, sweet lady? Place no one above you, sweet lady. Don't you know we love you?
Because when I was low, you was there for me. And never left me alone because you cared for me. And I could see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got tough. You're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You are appreciated.
Come on, lady.
Come on now.
Don't you know we love you, sweet lady?
Hey.
Place no one above you, sweet lady. Don't you know we love you?
Pour out some liquor and I reminisce. Sorry, I went back. Pour out some cooler and I reminisce. Because through the drama, I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy, there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. And there's no way I could pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You are appreciated.
Lady, don't
last one,
you
come on
know
now.
We love
sing
you,
like you
sweet
mean it.
Lady, place no one above you, sweet lady. Don't you know we love you?
Hey, give it up for Kavi. You know, he moonlights as a musician, so and always looking for work. So the pagan prophet, Tupac Shakur, whose mother, Afeni, was incarcerated while pregnant. She was part of the Black Panthers, who later, you know, Tupac called her a crack fiend and was still this brother was still able to say that she always was his black queen. This brother was still able to say that he's got to thank the Lord that she made him. He was able to look at her life and say, she performed miracles every Thanksgiving. So there's a lesson in this song that a young pagan prophet was trying to communicate, and that was that regardless of his mother's shortcomings, he was still able to see the good in her and appreciate her sacrifices. So the title of my message today, you are appreciated. You are appreciated. Surely, if this pagan prophet can appreciate his mama, surely as Christians, we can do the same. And they need our appreciation. They need Mother's Day. You know, I doubt that there's a mother in here who has never been insecure about her parenting. Even the best mothers sometimes struggle with, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? And we are here to say, yes, you are. We thank you. You are appreciated. Amen? So at this time, I want to introduce a brother who was baptized here. His name is Dre, Dre Parham. He became a Christian as a teenager at the young age of 15 years old. He was going to Riverdale High School. He graduated from there. He's going to Middle Georgia State University now, just finished his second year. Unfortunately, his mother passed away from cancer a couple of years ago in 2015. And I am, at the same time that I'm very appreciative of our mothers, we all are most of the time, but I'm also aware that this day could also be a challenging day for some of us who may have lost our mothers or who are not close to our mothers. And so Dre wanted to come up and he wanted to share from his heart. And what I love about Dre and his brothers is that both of his brothers are disciples and they have persevered through this time. And what he wants to do today is to remember his mother and share the things that he appreciated about his mom. Let's give it up for Dre.
What's going on, everybody? All right, good, good. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to share with you something that's very close to my heart, I would say, about my mother, and something that I appreciate so much, you know, just about her. You know, I can honestly say she taught me perseverance. You know, growing up at the age of 14 or 15, I became very car hungry. And I don't know what it was, but it was just something interesting about driving cars. I don't know. I was excited about it. And I would ask my mom, I would say, Mom, can I please drive a car? I would always ask her consistently. That's one thing me and my mom had. Like, we used to go at it all the time about driving the car. And she would always say no. So I used to get upset. I used to get in my feelings and get little attitudes. You know, when you were a teenager, you just get upset, angry just because you can't get your way. And so she said, she never verbally, just to put in her own words, she said, you can't even get behind the wheel because you have no permit or no identification. So even if I sat in the car, you still can't drive the car because you have no permit. So I said, man, challenge is accepted. So when I was like, challenge is accepted. Okay, cool. So I don't know if you guys are from here, but we moved to Clayton County, Riverdale. I'm like, what is Riverdale? When we were in Atlanta, I'm like, I was upset about it. But that at that time, I started to study consistently. I got the driver book. I got committed. Like, if you knew me as a teenager, that driving book was everywhere with me. Everywhere that I went, if I was on the school bus, if I was at school, if I was in the lunchroom, I was just committed to study for this test to get my permit. Why? Because I was so determined to drive. I was so determined to drive. And when I first took the test, I sat down and I took it and I failed. And I had to sit down and ask myself, am I dumb? Am I stupid? Why can't I pass the test? So when I started asking my friends and my family, they say, whoa, Dre, chill. Everybody fails the first time. Like, you overdoing it. So around the second time that I took the test, I got more committed. I got dedicated. So I said, you know what? It's just, you know, the first time, it's no big deal. So I got encouraged. And everybody was saying, like, it's guaranteed. If you go back and take the test a second time, you will be successful. Guaranteed. Because everybody that said they took the test, they got it the second time. So the second time I took the test, I failed again. And I started to, man, I'm telling you, I started to question God. I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, I start to question God. I start to doubt God. I mean, I was praying. I was asking God for guidance. I'm doing everything the scriptures called me to do. I'm studying. I'm asking people questions. People getting frustrated with me about driving. I mean, it was a wreck. I mean, a lot of people had to teach me how to drive. But my mom had a little grace on me. So the second time that I took the test, she said, "Son, you know what? I'll let you drive in the parking lot, but you can't drive in the street." And I used to get upset because when I was playing sports, I wanted to drive in front of my friends because everybody else was driving, so I just wanted to look good. And she would say that too, but I would say, "No, Mom, I'm not trying to look good," but she would say, "Yes, you are." So she knew my intentions. So like I said, the second time I had to sit back, and when I put the book down, I started meditating on the scripture. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you." So when I read that scripture and I put it close to my heart and I started to read and pray, I just took a break. I said, "Man, you know what? I'm going to do this." So the third time I took the test, I failed again. So it was a struggle. So my mom... I knew my mom believed in me, and I knew she believed in me getting my permit because she never complained. I was always complaining, but she never complained. She never said, "I'm tired of taking you to the driver's place. I'm tired of paying to go get your permit. I'm tired of it." Like, she never did it. I never seen her physically do it. So she never verbally had to say that she believed in me. It was her actions that showed it. Her actions showed it because she consistently took me to go get my permit. She was persistent at it. She would sit in the waiting room and she would just be in the waiting room waiting. She believed in me. So the fourth time I took it, I said, "You know what, God, I got this." I prayed and I said, "God, I got this," the fourth time I took it. So when I took it, the fourth time I sat down on the computer and me and that computer got connected, I said, "I'm going to take this joker out." I was motivated. I was so motivated. I said, "I got this," the fourth time. And so when I went the fourth time, I was praying. I'm telling you guys, I was just praying. Like, my hands were sweaty, but I was praying. And so on the fourth try, I hit that submit button, and I look in the waiting room with my mom, and I passed. And I was excited. I was excited because my mom was so happy for me. She was so joyful. She taught me perseverance. Like I said before, she didn't verbally have to say. It was her actions that showed it. So in everything that I do, I just have a fighting spirit. I'm not doing well in school, but my mom motivates me every single day to go to school. Sometimes I don't feel like listening to the professor. Sometimes I don't feel like going to class. Sometimes I honestly, school is not for me. That's how I feel. But because before my mother died, when she was on her deathbed, I said, "Mom, I will get my four-year degree." So she was fighting on her deathbed. She was fighting to go to work when she didn't feel like it. She was fighting to provide for my family. She was a fighter. She was a soldier. So I just got it in me. Some people say, "Dre, you should drop out." I can't drop out. I just got a fighting spirit. And where I get it from my mother. I appreciate it. So even though she didn't let me drive when I wanted to drive, even though she didn't let me flex in front of my friends when I wanted to flex in front of my friends, I appreciate her. I appreciate it so much because now I'm driving. Now I finally got my license, and I'm thankful. That's a whole different story, but I'm just thankful. Whole different story. But I just come to say, guys, like, I honestly appreciate that because that character trait is now in me. It's in my heart. And I'm thankful that God put her in a position where she can serve and she can give to my brothers and sisters, to my family, to me. Because I have insecurities, I have doubts every single day. But I just look up in the sky and I say, "My mom, she was a soldier." So even though she didn't, like, make it, she still fought. We even got spiritually connected. She started to pray and connect to God. So I'm just so thankful. And I'm so appreciative, and I just want to leave off and say, like, you should honor your mom every single day. Love her. Treat her like a queen. Just like when you want, if the guys, are you interested in a woman, just like you want to take her out and impress her, impress your mom every single day. Send her a text, say, "I love you." Say, just be creative. I don't know. But find some way to show to your mom that you love them every single day, just not on Mother's Day, but every day. Every day. And that's all I got for you guys.
I love that man. I love that dude, man. You know, it's interesting because I told him, hey, just pick one thing you want to share about your mother. And when he told me, you know, I just realized, I'm like, this goes specifically with the message that I'm preaching about a woman in the Bible who had a persevering heart. And look over in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 in verse 21. Here we're going to see a mother who had some spiritual characteristics, a persevering faith that we can all appreciate. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 21. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, Jesus. She keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. So here you have a Gentile woman, a pagan woman, whose background, whose culture was not one that believed in the one God, Yahweh. And so here she comes and she hears about Jesus. And she says, Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly. She's demon-possessed. A demon is severely tormenting her. She's being cruelly afflicted by an evil spirit. The devil is in complete control of her mind, her body, and spirit. And so this woman, this pagan Gentile woman, was in tune spiritually with what was going on. She was in tune enough to understand that this wasn't just a physical issue. She was able to assess the situation and understand that it wasn't just the fact that she was sick or that something else had happened. She was able to understand this is a spiritual issue, that her daughter was not a bad kid or just that she was sick or the fact that, oh, maybe she just has ADD and so we need to prescribe her some medicine. No, she was in tune enough to understand there is a spiritual issue going on in my home. Now, it doesn't say how old her child was, but if you ask me, she was a teenager. Because that's usually the age where children get demon-possessed, and they start acting out of character. And so I will take liberty to say this child was a teenager. But there was a spiritual battle going on for her child. Hell was literally taking over the house. Now, the problem with some of us is that we fail to see our lives through a spiritual lens. And we try to fix the problem using worldly or natural measures when the problem actually needs a touch from the spiritual and the supernatural. Amen? I was in the radio. It was in the car. Listened to the radio the other day, and I heard this song come on. That lady goes, "I got issues," and then she goes, "You got them too." Anybody heard that song? It's a cool song. Just listen to 99.7. You know the pop station. "I got issues. You got them too." I said, "Man, I love that song." I said, "We got issues. That's it. I got issues. You got it too." And she's humble enough to understand that. We all got issues. We all have things we struggle with. We all have hardships. We all got issues. Now the question is, are we understanding that first and foremost, they are spiritual issues? Because some of us can relate to this woman. Maybe even right now we can relate to this mother when we feel like our teenager is demon-possessed. When she has stopped talking to me. And all she does is sit in her room all day. or he's always on his phone, or she's got an attitude, or he's using drugs, or she's suicidal. And these things just aren't simply growing pains. The devil is launching a full-out attack against our children, and we got to be on our knees, and we got to be crying out to issues, to Jesus, about our issues. Amen? Because we all got issues. For some of us, it's our marriage. We got marital issues. Maybe there's unforgiveness and unresolved conflict. Maybe there's unmet expectations or lack of understanding in the relationship. You know, maybe it's been tough over the last few years, over the last few months. Maybe you've discussed getting a divorce. Maybe you've discussed getting counseling, which is great. It is great to see professional people who this is what they do. They have degrees in this. But have you gone to Jesus first? Have you taken your issues to Jesus? We got to go to Jesus first because it's a spiritual issue first. Now, personally for us, what is it for us? I don't know. Maybe it's lust or depression. Maybe you come in here with anger issues or lying issues. I'm not sure what it is for you. But I know one thing, I know who can handle those issues, and that's Jesus. And that's why I love that song, Fix Me, Jesus. Not Fix Me self-help book, not Fix Me Oprah, but Fix Me Jesus, amen? This desperate mother knew her daughter had a spiritual issue. And she sought out the best doctor in town. Now the problem was that she didn't have an appointment. So she tried that walk-in, you know, just walk-in. That walk-in doesn't work very well. Especially if you're trying to go somewhere like Grady. It doesn't work very well. No offense. It's just the facts. Sometimes it's better to set an appointment. But it didn't work. She wanted to go see Jesus. But when she cried out to Jesus, in verse 23, it says, Jesus did not say a word. Jesus did not say a word. Now, this is what happens sometimes with Jesus, actually. If you remember the storm that he was out on the boat with his disciples and the storm was going on, right? And they were going nuts, but he was sleeping. He was quiet. He was fine. They woke him up out of sleep. He said, oh, ye of little faith. And he stopped the wind and the storm, and it stopped just like that. Or when he was being on his way to the cross, right? And they offended him, they insulted him, and he remained silent. Now, there is a lesson in that alone. Sometimes it's just better to stay quiet. Sometimes it's just better to shut our mouths. See, some of us, we just like to talk too much. Some of us, we like to gossip. Some of us, we like to lie. Some of us, we just need to keep our mouths shut. Sometimes it is better just to be quiet. Just be quiet. And see what happens from there. Because sometimes I know what I struggle with. I'm a preacher, so you know I struggle with that. I like to talk. They got to cut me off. Hey, we're going a little. Hey, I got to shorten the sermon today. I like to talk. But the problem is sometimes we feel like our words will fix people. And we get controlling. And we start yelling at people. Why don't you get it? And in our marriages, you know, sisters can struggle with control. And you want to change that man. You married him, but you want to change him now. Why ain't you changing? And you start nagging, right? And then men just shut off. They close down. They close up shop. They're not communicating anymore because we can't handle all that, right? And so it's a challenge. Sometimes we got to shut up and just trust God, right? There's a whole lesson in that, and I'm going to leave it at that. But it's tough to swallow that this woman who was desperate came to Jesus, and he did not say a word. That's hard for me to understand. Jesus, come on, you're supposed to be compassionate. But the truth is, we cannot get around the fact that there will be times in our lives where it feels like God is silent. Where it feels like we're calling out to God and we get the busy signal, or it feels like we get the ignore, you know, the mute button on. It just feels like that sometimes. Like, God, are you listening to my prayers? And what I learned from this situation and throughout life, I think that when God does not answer our prayers immediately, when we're calling out to him and we have a legitimate need, I think sometimes he's seeking to grow our faith, because the level of the need is so deep that the level of our faith has to go even deeper. So instead of answering our prayers immediately, he takes us through a series of obstacles that we got to fight through to see, okay, his faith, her faith, are they going to get through these obstacles to get to me? And we got to climb over these things. We got to climb over these issues for the purpose of deepening our own faith. So if you're praying and it feels like it's getting worse, he just may be taking you deeper and deeper in your faith. Sometimes our faith is more important than immediately answering a prayer. And it's in silence that we see spiritual characteristics of this woman that we can appreciate. Not only was her spiritual awareness, but also her persevering faith. After Jesus stayed silent, she went and talked to his disciples. Okay, I guess he doesn't want to talk to me. So she went after his disciples. Disciples, you got to help me. And so the disciples, they're like, okay, talk to Jesus. Like, he ain't talking back. And so they're trying to help the people, and they're trying to serve the people, and they're trying to fix the people, and there's other people that got needs, but she's right there behind them, yelling at them, screaming at them, bothering them, saying, no, you don't understand. My daughter needs help. The disciples said, Jesus, can you get rid of her? Do something about her. Get your girl. They start complaining to Jesus. She's bothering us. If you're not going to do anything about us, don't expect us to do anything about it. You're the one with all the power, Jesus. She just won't leave us alone. She keeps following us, begging and pleading. You know, it's deep because one of the most common excuses I hear when people are struggling is, and I'm like, well, why didn't you talk about this? Well, why didn't you tell me? Well, I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to bother anybody with my issues. And, you know, all that means is that you're not desperate enough to get the help you need. All that means is that you're not desperate enough to get the help you need. Because if you're not trying to bother me, I doubt you're trying to bother Jesus. I doubt it. I doubt that you are so desperate to get the help you need that you are wearing Jesus out with your prayers. Not this mom. She didn't care who she bothered. She was driving them folks crazy, but she's like, I need to get my daughter help. And then when Jesus does speak, he says, listen, I'm here for the Jews. I'm sorry, I can't help you. At this point, things seem to get worse. It could have been easy for her to quit, right? Jesus ain't helping me. The church ain't helping me. I'm done. I tried this Christianity stuff. They told me about this Jesus. I came to church. Ain't nobody want to help me. I couldn't even talk to the preacher today. And she said, no, I'm going to push through. She decided she's going to persevere. And what she did was she came and knelt before Jesus. So at first she just came and she cried out. Now she literally comes and bows down and worships. She kneels before Jesus and worships. Her desperation grew with each obstacle. Why? I think she understood what was at stake. Her baby girl, she needed her help. She needed to get her well. And being the loving mother that she was, she wasn't about to let quiet Jesus or complaining disciples get in the way of her daughter's healing, her daughter's freedom, her daughter's deliverance. Sometimes I don't think we really understand what's at stake. I think sometimes we stop understanding what's at stake. We may start off getting it and being desperate, but after a while, it may rub off a little bit. The issues that at one point were just incomprehensible are now just a part of life. And what happens is that we learn to function in dysfunction. And so we lose our urgency for healing, for freedom, for deliverance. So I ask you this, what have you stopped praying about? Who have you stopped praying about? When we stop praying, we communicate to God that this person, this situation, this issue is not that important to me anymore. And if it's not that important to you, And why should it be important to God? In other words, what I mean is this. Your priorities are reflected in your prayer life. Your priorities are reflected in your prayer life. You know, that's why in Luke 18, which is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Jesus tells a parable that very much like this, and he tells his disciples, I'm telling you this story so that you will always pray and never give up. That's very clear. There are some parables where you don't know the meaning, but this one, Jesus says, the point is for you to always pray and never give up. And it's interesting how similar it was. We don't know if this woman was a widow or not, but we know that her husband and her man was not around. But the woman in that story was a widow who kept coming to a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people. There was no spiritual bone in his body, but she came asking for justice. And in Luke 18 and verse 4, I want to read this for us. Write it down. It says, for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. That's the NLT. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? God, Jesus, he gives us the permission to wear him out in prayer. I want you to keep coming to me. I want you to never give up. I want you to keep fighting, to keep working through the obstacles. And no matter what, don't give up praying. I'm listening. And that shows where our faith is. Because in both of these stories, that's what Jesus says. He says, wow, you have great faith. I will find faith on the earth with people who will persevere in their faith and persevere in their prayer life. But there was one more obstacle to overcome. Jesus let her know, listen, I can't give you what's supposed to be going to somebody else. You see, I came here for the Jews, and it just wouldn't be right to give you what I came to give to the Jews. And so in the Bible, whether we like it or not, Jesus came and he prioritized the Jews. He said, and the reason why is because he said, you know what? If I can help the Jews, then the Jews can help the rest of the world. He wanted to help the world through the Jews, who were his people, and that was God's plan. But even then, this mother said, you know what? No, I'll take the crumbs, and the crumbs will be enough for me to heal my daughter. At this time, my wife is going to share about that point.
Happy Mother's Day to my fellow sisters who battle every day to love our kids and be the best we can. You know, I think scriptures like this, when you become a mom, take on a whole new meaning. Because before you become a mom, they're great stories, they're inspiring, you know, but when you push out those kids and they get sick the first time or they have an attitude the first time, you know, the passages like this really come alive. To you. I'm sure fathers too, but for this one, I love this mom, you know, first and foremost because, you know, she set such a great example, and she really convicts me with her heart of, I'm going to show my child when there's a problem, we go to Jesus. And I feel like my tendency at times can be, well, let me go into problem-solving mode. And so I love how she took that stand, and I really want to every day strive to take that stand as well. Layla, Aria, something's going on. We're going to God to pray about it. You know, I love her humility. She got compared to a dog. A dog. If I didn't say it, I probably would have been thinking, Jesus, do you know what I went through to get here? Do you know what I've been going through the last week? Do you know what's been going on? But she had such a humility about her. And to me, that shows she did not feel a sense of entitlement. And in today's world, when we can feel entitled every day, we can feel like nobody knows what I've had to go through, nobody knows what I've worked hard to get. She shatters all reasoning as to why we can feel entitled. She knows who she is before God. She knows she's a Gentile. She knows she doesn't deserve more. And yet she has a sense of humility that I think speaks volumes. You know, I love her faith. You know, she knew that them little crumbs would be as far as it would be everything that she needed to take care of her problem. And I think at times when we come before God, we expect grandeur, you know? We expect, these are the five things that I need in order for this to work out successfully, God. Make it happen. And if all of those things happen or don't happen, we get upset, we get nervous, we get worried. And I love her faith. Even the scraps will be enough for me, Jesus. If I can just have those crumbs, I will be okay. To me, that shows she knew who God truly was. He was a God of power. He was a God of love. He was a God that could provide for her in her time of need. All of these things encourage me about the type of mom that I want to be, and I want to encourage you moms out there. I know we are in an everyday battle. It's an honor and a privilege. Sometimes we want to pull our hair out and run for the hills. But there is no greater joy, and I think God has given us the opportunity to be moms, and we want to do everything we can to help those little munchkins come to know God and to help ourselves get to heaven in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, my love. In verse 28, then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed at that moment. Jesus says, your faith is appreciated. And it was her faith that allowed her to see the spiritual battle. It was her faith that led her to approach Jesus. And though she was a Gentile, she called Jesus the Son of David, which meant she called him the Messiah. It was her faith that brought her to her knees to worship after it felt like she was rejected by Jesus and his disciples. And it was her faith that helped her to believe that even the leftovers from the master was more than enough to meet her needs. So to that pagan Gentile woman, I say, and to all the godly women of faith, I say, dear mama, you are appreciated. Thank you.